Elliot.
Pastor Elliot. Okay. You have the mic. That worship song is really special. You do know that that's what they were singing when the glory cloud came after Solomon dedicated the temple. And they were singing about the goodness of God. It's interesting about the love of God. I recently turned 71 in July, and I got saved when I was 18, and baptized in the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues, so 53 years, and the Bible tells us that God loves us, but it's not really a lot of detail of why He loves us. We can come up with ideas that, well, not an idea. Scripture says God is love. But sometimes we look at ourselves in the mirror. I've done it. And you wonder, why does God love me that much? Or, I'm still praying after 53 years for God to open my heart and my eyes to know more of how much He loves me and how much He loves you. You see, you're older than you think. You have 3 birth certificates. One is your natural birth certificate, when you were born. Got that at the hospital. Now, there's another book, it's called the Lamb's Book of Life in Heaven. So when you were born again, you were recorded in heaven. So our spiritual condition, being in Christ now, it comes from heaven. So we are now heavenly people. Is that right? Now, what about the third one? Well, you know, in Jeremiah chapter 1, we have the this statement there from God to Jeremiah that before even time existed, I knew you. Now, can you imagine that? Now, sometimes I say, okay, Jeremiah was special. He was a prophet. My name's not Jeremiah, it's Elias. Your name is different, you know, Pastor Allen, whatever. But sometimes we wonder, can we apply that same truth to us? Is it only for Jeremiah, but is it also us? Was there a time, I mean, just think about it. I don't know. Maybe God's sitting in space or flying in space, wherever he was. We don't know when he started thinking about Jeremiah. We don't know when he started thinking about you. Or when he started thinking about me. So can you imagine before time even existed? You see, time started when God started saying things like, you know, let there be light. And he called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And then time came into being for this world down here. But can you imagine him thinking about you, taking the time before the earth was created, before Adam was created? Think about that. Before Adam was created, did God ever think about you? And I don't know how he did it, but somehow I picture him thinking about us. And he smiled when he started thinking about your ears, what they would be like, you know? Yeah. And then he made your nose and your eyes. And he thought about every one of your teeth and everything about you. And then he thought about what kind of pleasure did he want to get out of you once you were created and grew up and become mature in the spirit. Can you imagine God taking time to think of you like that? So you were conceived in God's mind before time. If that's true, so you're older than you think. So now, after 53 years of walking with God, I think what is one of the most special things how we can connect with God? How we can connect with Jesus. It's like you're sitting in a chair right now. All of us here, we're seeking God's glory. I'm not here seeking my glory to try and be a good speaker. No, I'm seeking God's glory now. That's all I care about. I want Jesus to shine. Want him to be exalted. That's why we're here. And as you sit in your chair and the Holy Spirit is with you, you want to sense him and connect with him. So life, the journey of life, is a seeking life. One the deepest things inside of us is to have the heart of a seeker. You know, in Proverbs it says, it's the glory of God to conceal or hide something. And it's the glory of kings to search them out. Something I found out about God. He loves to be sought. He doesn't like it when people find things too easy. You know, you have children. I've never had children. But I tease children really good. And you know, sometimes we play games, hide and seek. And you know, we know where they are. You know, they're behind the piano, but we go like this. I can't find you. And then they start giggling, you know. You know, and you love to make the children feel that way. There's something in God's heart where He wants you to find something, but He likes just hiding it a little bit. And you get a little closer, and sometimes He'll push it a little. He enjoys your seeking. You see, sometimes God enjoys your seeking more than the finding. It's like life. Life is a journey, and some people, you know, like, oh, we want to, you know, I want to be successful. I want to have money, a house. So you work. That's where I want to be. So you work. Okay, now you're 45 years old. You got it. Oh, I made it. And then you look back, and you did not enjoy the journey. All those years of not enjoying the journey, is this success really worth it? We love God. One of the reasons we want to seek God so much, I know hunger is important, hunger. But Jesus died for us. He did so much for us that we're so grateful. And I think most of us feel like we want to seek Him because we want to do more for Him. We want to make Him happy. We're so grateful, we want to give something back to Him. Well, I've been married twice. My first wife, I took care of her for 12 years, and then she died in 2011. Then I met, my dream wife, Lori, in 2012. I pictured her when I was in high school, you know. And I said, oh, I just want to, a model, blonde hair, blue eyes, you know. Well, we met at 57. We got married in 2012. I took care of her also last year. She died in 2024. And so, you know, bad things can happen to you. Is that right? Hard things. So, how is it in a journey, how can I survive and still be in a condition where I can minister the Spirit of God to you this morning? I never loved anyone like her. I mean, I know I love Jesus, but I'm talking about a human being. I never loved anyone like I loved her. And now she's with the Lord. And there's a lot more I could say about that, but There's things that I had to go through with Jesus after she died. And then I took some time, you know, and I just, sometimes I have just days of just, missing her, and I just, you know. I'm not saying I'm finished with my crying, because sometimes it just surprises you when it comes. But I sit there alone in the living room, and I said to myself, I started talking to Jesus, and I said, you know, Jesus, you had it tough. You had it real tough. The way you died, Jesus, you gave your life to these 12 disciples. They all ran away from you. You're the King of Kings, and you let people beat you the way they beat you. You did nothing but good. You didn't deserve to be treated that way. And then when I think about Jesus and what he went through, I say to myself, how can I be so selfish and self-pity? He is worthy of our service to him. Now, one of the deepest secrets in life is to find yourself. See, we talk about finding God, right? We know, we hear a lot about finding God. But you see this book? It's a Bible. This has been around the world. This Bible, it exists more for us than for God. Did you know that? This Bible, it exists because of us. God did fine without the Bible for a long time. So the Bible is for us to study it and to find God and find ourselves. God takes a lot of pleasure when you discover yourself. Okay. Now, I want to minister the Holy Spirit to some people today, so I'm going to try and economize my scriptural teaching. So maybe we don't need to turn to everything. But let me read Matthew chapter 16, if you don't mind. And this is Jesus talking. Matthew 16 verses, 24. I'll just read 24 and 25. How about that? Those two verses. All right. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. So, I don't want to be mean to any preachers, but there's a lot of people that say, Jesus died and it was all finished. No. His Jesus two crosses. Jesus finished his work so that we could enter into what he has for us. But he said, you can enter, but it depends on how deep you want to go with God. And the only way to get deep with God is to find out where your cross is, pick it up and carry it. Which means life is not always a lot of fun. And it's okay if you're quiet. I don't expect anybody to be clapping at that. So, verse 25, he says, whoever wishes to save his life shall lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake shall find it. So we see something interesting here. We hear words finding and losing and finding and losing and finding and losing. So, God came to each one of us, revealed ourselves, himself to us, right, Pastor? And he said, I died for you. Believe in me. That's all you have to do. Believe in me, and I'll give you an eternal life. And we said, yes. And so we found Jesus, but then he said, okay, come, let's walk together. And you start walking with Jesus, and then you start finding out, oh, okay, I found Jesus, but I feel like I'm losing something. Yes, you're losing. You're losing your life. So the way to win with God is to lose. But here's what you lose. When I was young, I had so many dreams. The biggest dream I had, I wanted to be the chess champion of the world. So I was, when I was 15 years old, I was, I'm the first chess master in history for my country, the Bahamas. And I studied classical piano. I wanted to do this, do that. I went into acting. I thought I might go to Hollywood. But Jesus got me when I was 18 years old. Thank God he got me. Oh, I'm so glad he got me. It's a sad thing to become successful in life with something that doesn't mean anything. Just think of some of these actors. They go up, they get the Grammy Awards, the Emmy Awards, and then on Judgment Day, they hold it up to God, and he goes, yeah, okay, what else you got? What do you mean, what else? Oh, that doesn't mean anything to me. So, before we met Jesus, God bless you if you met him when you were younger than 18. God bless you, that's good. But a lot of us, we met him later, is that right? So those years, we were thinking about, what am I going to study in school? Business administration, mechanical engineer, architect. Maybe I'll be a musician. So you build up this image in what you want to be. Then you meet Jesus and he goes, oh, come walk with me. And you go, oh, okay. And he says, you know, all of those images that you built up for yourself? Male. No good. So what we have to do is we have to lose and deny the image that we built up. and say, okay, I start from scratch. And Jesus, now you tell me, what do you want me to be? And then you start finding a new joy. And Jesus starts speaking to you about you. And you see, the more you see Jesus, you think, oh, I'm glad you found me. That's good. Now let me tell you something about you. So life is like this. Jesus tells you something about himself. You go, oh, good. And then he goes, okay, now it tells you something about you. Oh, then you come here. He says, oh, I found you, Jesus. Yeah, now you know more about me. Now let me tell you more about you. And here I am. Maybe you're like me. Maybe some of you are older than me. But at 71, I'm still seeking God to find out, what does it mean to find who you are? You see, it's not enough to say, oh, well, I'm an architect. I found out. That's who I am. No. No. Or, oh, I'm a preacher of the gospel. Yeah. Well, that doesn't mean you found everything. You have to find out what to talk about, how to talk, how to minister to people. Should I prophesy? Should I not prophesy? And even if I do prophesy, how should I do it? Should I get a piece of paper and write some numbers and then show you the numbers? Or should I draw a chalkboard and I draw your house instead of tell you about it? How do I do it? And if I administer the Holy Spirit to you, which I'm going to do by God's grace, do I do it like this? Do I do it like this? Do I do it like this? You see, these are things that you find. You find them as you walk with God. You don't find it all on day one. Oh, I have a healing ministry. Oh, well, good. How do you do it? Well, Benny Hinn does it with music, you know. How great thou art, how great thou art. You know, he needs piano. Yeah, some people don't. I know Jesus didn't need any music. He was in the garden with the worst atmosphere. You teach that the atmosphere has to be good for miracles. Jesus goes, no, it doesn't have to be a good atmosphere. I was being betrayed and arrested, and I still put up an ear. I put it back on. That's bad atmosphere, but he was good at healing, I'll tell you that. So you have to find... You have to find your life. You know, I wasn't born in a country. Did you know that? I was born in the Bahamas. Bahamas was under the British Commonwealth. My parents were Greek. My father came from Greece. My mother was going through the Bahamas on the island of Nassau, to an arranged marriage. She met my father. He opened the door for her. She walked in and played the piano, and that's it. Then my brother comes along, 3 years older than me, and then I get born. And so I'm a Greek, born British in a colony. I'm not even born in a country. Then Bahamian got their independence. Now I'm a Greek who was British, who is now Bahamian. Then I come to America, and I'm a Greek who was British, Bahamian, now I'm an American. many of you, you look at your background, you know, what are you doing here? I go to Argentina and John Woo's church. I told them, I think a couple of months ago, I said, Argentina, this feels far away from Florida. I said, what are you people doing here? Chinese people speaking Spanish, you know? Now, I know God takes people where they want. I understand all that. But isn't life funny sometimes? Isn't it strange? So, as strange as all of this is, somehow you're in the right place. Somehow. And if you're not, let me tell you, you will feel it. It won't feel right. I've made like 8 moves, geographical moves, to be where God wants me. And even now, I have people say, oh, well, why don't you move over here? And you can be with us. And you'll move over here. And I'm going, I'm 71. I don't want to move again. You know what it is to get a big truck, fill it up. And then I have to say, God, I'll do it if you want. Because my life is not my own anymore. I'm here to confirm to you, each one of you, that God puts something inside of you. Yeah? There's something inside of you. It comes from heaven. Doesn't come from school, doesn't come from a teacher, doesn't come from your parents. There's something God Himself, He put it inside of you. You have to find what that is. That's what the Apostle Paul said. He said, I press on to know Jesus and the power of His resurrection, and to know that for which He captured me, apprehended me. What is that that He was talking about? It was purpose. And He wanted to make sure that He fought the good fight and did His purpose properly. Finding and losing, huh? I'm really glad that I'm talking about this, because this may be one of the most important things you might hear for a long time. See, I've done a lot of revivals. I've gone to Canada, I've been in one church, the Spirit started moving, and I stayed for 3 months, every night, meetings till 11 midnight. People coming from different places around the world, God touching many people. And as I journey in life and I see other revivals, I'm going to Argentina. I've been to Argentina a few times. Do you know that Argentina was an example of revival to the world some years back? Did you know that? Well, I've gone back. And I see things differently. The way I see it is, a revival, you can fill up a stadium and you can have 100 people fall under the power at one time and everybody's excited. And you can have an evangelist wave his hand, oh, the anointing for the pastors, and they can all fall under the power. And I've even done some of these things myself. And I go back to Argentina and there's no revival. And I'm thinking to myself, what happened? Why can't the anointing, why can't it just stay with us? Why does this have to be thick and strong? And the next week it's dry. Something inside of me says, life is not supposed to be like that. Is that right? We're supposed to get a relationship with the Holy Spirit and hug Him, hold Him, let Him hug us, and you just walk with Him like this. And it stays. You stay with Him. I'm not saying it always feels good. But every morning I wake up, I say, God, tell me what I'm supposed to hear. Show me what I'm supposed to see. I'll tell you a secret about your life. Moses couldn't do what he did without those two things. Number one, God told him what to do. But it wasn't finished. See, people say, God's voice, God's voice, God's voice, and everything's finished. No. Let me tell you, his voice is not always enough. Because he has to show you something. Okay? So he told Moses, you see your staff? Throw it down. And God showed him supernatural power. Now there's something else. He said, grab the snake by the tail. You're not supposed to grab snakes by the tail. You know that. You're supposed to grab them by the head. Is that right? So you grab that snake by the head. You're taking an extra risk. As a matter of fact, at first Moses ran away. And then after that, God said, and if that's not enough, take your hand, put it inside, pull it out, it'll be leprous, put it back in your bosom, pull it out, and your hand will be normal again. And so Moses went to deliver Israel with God telling him something and showing him something. If God didn't show me the Holy Spirit, I couldn't do what I'm about to do this morning. But we're going to see the Spirit move by His grace. He's kind. He is kind. He's generous. I want God, my desire, is for you to hear God speak to you about you. And then show you things. And it's a supernatural experience. But He wants to show you things. Even in John chapter 14, Jesus said, He who loves me loves my Father. I will manifest myself to him. That means I won't just speak with you. I'll show myself to you. To me, that's the kind of gospel I believe in, the kind of Jesus I believe in. The last thing I want to say, do you remember the parable of the 10 virgins? What was the problem with the foolish virgins? Go ahead, tell me. They were not, okay, how were they not prepared? They didn't have enough oil. Does that ring a bell? Right? Right? And then when you study it a little more, the ones that were wise, they had oil. They said to the other five virgins, they said, listen, groom is coming. There's not enough for us and you for us to give you. You go buy it yourself. And the Bible says, as they went, the bridegroom came. What was the issue? The issue was not money to buy. The issue was time. It was time. There's a lot that I don't know about myself yet. But I know there's a time coming when something's going to expose and I'm going to have to move faster with God. You've got to do things different when things change. It's going to be for us too, for all of us. This church is not always going to be like this, I'm telling you. God is about to change and do some amazing things. Don't underestimate the size of this building. Don't underestimate the size of this church. God always does great things with small things. We don't know how many apostles and prophets are in this room, do we? So, time was the issue. You know, I think it's Isaiah chapter 55, verse 1. Those of you that are thirsty, hungry, says, come and buy and eat without money. It actually says it, buy without money. So what is this thing, buying without money? Do you know how many people wish they had money? And they said, come on, I'm entitled. Give me some money. I'm entitled. No. That's not God's way of making money. You already have cash inside of you. And that cash is the gift of God. And the Bible says your gift, when you do it, it'll make room for your life. So, the gift in you, you do it, something opens up supernaturally by God's grace, and then you get money. Now you're looking at the money and you say, oh, I got money now. No, you already had it inside of you. You understand? Your provision is not always a miracle. Oh, I got a miracle. I got this. Someone gave me this. No, a lot of provision is the gift in you. When you release your gift, you find your gift, and you do it, then you get an exchange. That's how you make a living. That's the sad thing about government programs and handouts. I would rather teach people responsibility than just give them. Teach them responsibility, they can live forever. You keep handing out and there's no responsibility. You just keep wasting money. Is that right? Thank you for listening. So now maybe you're like me. Maybe not as old as me. But maybe I have you thinking this morning with God. I have a friend who said, he's a pastor, he's much older now, and there was a Brazilian model who was already rich. Now, can you imagine being a millionaire and being unhappy? Do you know why that happens? It's because God puts something inside of you You made money with another gift, but there's another gift that you never touched. And that gift is saying, use me, please, find me. And that thing inside of you is talking to you, and you keep ignoring it, but you keep feeling it. So, like my friend's pastor said to this Brazilian successful model, well, you're unhappy, you've got beautiful children, beautiful wife, what's the matter? He said, I don't know, I can't explain this feeling. He said, well, is there anything that you really wanted to do in life that you've never done? He said, you know, I always wanted to paint. I just love getting a painting. He said, well, okay, go to the store, get some brushes, buy a painting, start painting. So he sold in the church his first painting, $65, something. Then he became more of a millionaire with his painting. He became a world famous artist and found greater fulfillment in God. I wonder how many gifts are in this room waiting to be discovered. Can you imagine being 80 years old like Moses? And then you have God tell you, okay, now you're the deliverer of a whole nation. Say what? I was with my father-in-law and we're taking care of sheep and stuff. Deliver a nation? You might be more than you think. That's why it's my joy this morning. I haven't been here for 7 years. And I felt in my heart to pick this message to you. Because if I had to pick one thing, it would be this. You see, the revival in Argentina, it's not all about the evangelist who comes with power. Even Jesus, God prepared the ground with John the Baptist. Do you understand that? God is already doing a work here with you before any great, mighty man or team of power comes. God prepares you. So I'm going to go to Argentina in October. I hope they don't hear this because I want to tell them firsthand. But I want to teach them some of this and say, listen, God is already doing a work here of revival in Argentina. Don't wait for a man of power to come. You have something in you. Father, these gifts in this room, I just want to thank you for the way you love us and your purpose for each of us. In the name of Jesus, take authority over any wrong spirit that has been trying to hinder anybody here from finding the blessings of God. I just command you to leave God's people. Just leave. Just all hindering spirits, just go. Go. Now, some of you might say, oh, no, how come nobody's coughing when he says come out? Well, I'll tell you why. A lot of the demons, you didn't feel them when they came in. You don't feel them when they go out. You just know that you're different. See?
Alan K. Jones.
Oh, I thought I turned airplane mode. I just thought for sure I was airplane mode. Well, I'm not going to talk to you, brother. I apologize for that. Oh, by the way, you know who he is? He's an ambulance driver for 35 years in New York City. That's who he is. And he recently retired, and he loves God. And I water baptized him when I was a pastor in New York, so that's who that was. Now, it's okay to touch you like that. You're such a servant. And what I see is you've really dedicated your life giving to your family, church. You're so willing to give up your time. God has seen all of that and is pleased with your service and the generosity of your heart. And now, there's a special time, even the Spirit is coming on you now, where you're going to just sense a stretch of time where God is going to be speaking to you about you, purpose, ministry, supernatural gifts. You will be getting visitations from angels very soon. You're going to know it. You're going to hear different sounds in the room. The reason I'm speaking like this is this happens to me. Not long ago, I was in my bed, and I woke up, and my sheet moved by itself off of my feet, over. The angel grabbed it and moved it. Then I said, okay, don't worry, I'll pray. So how do we find? We find by redeeming our time. We use our time properly. So, whatever you're giving your time to, that's what you'll find. I can play the guitar right now. I can play the piano right now. I can do it because I gave time to it. I'm just going to minister the Spirit a little bit here. and a sound group. And in this section here, okay, how many of you have just felt something? So what is this? This is simply a ministry just to get the anointing and just get in the dimension of the anointing. So come here, let me pray for you. Just go on. Okay, now this time I'm not going to touch you because this is between, this is you and God. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Just bless her right now. So, what is the purpose of this? You see? You can even see her eyes and her face. The purpose is, now she's in a dimension. That's all I do. I help you to get in a supernatural dimension. See, it's called the ministry of the Spirit. Can I pray for you? So, I leave her because it's between her and God. It's not our business. It's God's business. Holy Spirit, thank you for this ministry here. And remember, I'm not trying to make you fall or anything. I just want God to touch you the way He. Holy Spirit, now just come on here and just bless her. She's moving in the spirit. You can see that. So, she's with God. God bless you. He loves you so much. Lord, this is your child, your daughter. Come upon her now and just bless her so much. Thank you. Thank you. never feeling the presence of God in our life. So, He's here to help us. He loves us so much. He wants us to find. Can I pray for you, sir? So much respect taking shoes off. Should I take my shoes off? Okay. Now, God bless you. Feels good, doesn't it? You see, he's experiencing the Lord. You don't have to follow, but it feels good, doesn't it? And I'll show you. You see how sweet God is? God's going to be good because I don't touch you. You know? Lord, just bless him now. That's all we need. We just need not only are you very gifted, but you can be a a very aggressive woman of God when you want to. And what I see is your ministry is like fire. Like fire. And I see fire in your mouth. And he said, well, I want to be careful that I'm a woman. Maybe women shouldn't preach or prophesy so loud. But I hear noise, good noise, coming from your mouth, proclaiming and prophesying the power of God. You know, you have a prophetic spirit on you. And I tell you what, God has already spoken to you about the gift of prophecy. So, this is the spirit of prophecy on you. And I'm so happy for you today. Because God is unlocking things for you. Now, you know, just when you walked past me right now, I mean, you were leading the worship, right?
Yeah.
Well, I saw the words, a humble leader. You're a humble leader. Pastor Allen, is he a humble leader?
Oh, yeah.
And he's very faithful, hear me, and he's loyal. Yes. Something in your future. I don't see all your future. But God wants to use you as a powerful government leader in the kingdom of God. And he's going to raise you up. He has planned for your life to be in the front line of God's kingdom. When the kingdom of God goes to battle, you're one of the soldiers for the front line, because God wants you in the front line to face the enemy, even on behalf of the church. And you know, the spirit of prayer is on your life. You love to pray. I saw you on your knees, but that doesn't mean anything. What I see in the spirit is at home alone. You spend a lot of time on your knees. And God has been watching that. And I know I can see it because I've done it. Holy Spirit, let your wind come now. Let your wind come and just blow on them. I'm hearing sticks breaking. Some kind of repairs going on that have been hindered. Repairs in someone's house near me. Okay. Can't go any further because of the money, is that right? Things are being hindered, is that right? Okay. Why am I hearing those sticks? doing some work with wood and they're breaking wood, or do you have sticks in your yard outside that you step on? Not that you know of. Something that I hear. Maybe it's the sound of work. Come, I'm going to pray for both of you. Okay, hold. Oh, I'm assuming husband and wife, right? You're both very kind people, humble people. I'm laughing because you were both so happy when you met. You bring joy to each other, and you're just so happy that you met. This marriage here is from heaven. I'm going to tell you that. This one here. This is from heaven. So, in the name of Jesus, I, as your brother, pray, I rebuke all powers of darkness, holding back the work on the house. Command you to go, back off. Even insurance adjusters and all that. Go in Jesus' name. Now, there's two angels at least. I don't want to say there's two and there's 500. I don't want to do that. So let me say there's at least two angels that are going to minister to both of you right now. So the Holy Spirit ministers to us sometimes, but angels are also called ministering spirits. Father, thank you for what you prepared for them this morning, and these two angels are going to help with the house and getting it done. So let the work be done. Let the ministry of angels take place now. Trip to Italy, and it was postponed. Someone wanted to go to see Venice. Some seen the gondola. Is anyone here that wanted to go to Italy? And why? What's so funny? Oh, it's you. Okay. You know what? Would you rather stay sitting in the chair? You don't want to come up? That's okay. You don't have to come up. You don't have to fall or anything. Where did you want to go, what, last year or something? It got postponed. Okay. Well, you're going. All right? So just stay there. You don't have to lift your hands up or anything. You can sit down if you want, right? It's okay. This trip, it's going to be a real blessing. It's going to be very enjoyable. It's like a gift from God. You should go, and you really should enjoy it. I mean, I can see you eating the food and everything, just having such a good time. Sometimes people think it's not spiritual to do something. Oh, it's worldly, you know. Going. No. I'm confirming to you, it's a gift from God. Just go and enjoy it. So Holy Spirit, just bless and touch you right now. Okay, that's good. Sinuses. Let me see somewhere. Who needs a healing for his sinuses? Am I in the wrong section? Something happening? You feel something happening? Why are you crying? Okay. You want to walk a little? See if... You feel relief coming? A little bit? Okay, put your hand there again. Yeah, right there. Okay, that's good. Yes. Okay. Great. Lord, thank you for your healing. Let your power go into this bone and just straighten it out in Jesus' name. Try it. Is there a difference? You feel it? It's good? How? someone planting flowers? I see flowers and someone planting flowers. That's okay. God bless you. That's all right. It shouldn't be that difficult. Okay. See, that's what I mean about finding. Did you see how I did that different? You have to find ways with God. And see, now she's with God. I'm just going to talk to you. I see your money quietly building. And the Lord is going to help your money. I just see that your bank account is just building. Even though you're a giver, God's blessing you. That's good. Yeah. Can I pray for you? The Bible says a house is built with wisdom in Proverbs. It's interesting, it doesn't say it's built with money. We know it takes money, but a house is built first with wisdom. You know, sometimes people pray, God, give me a house. 10 years, no house. Why? Sometimes it's because the answer came with a thought of wisdom. And you say, well, that's not money. That won't fix the house. But the wisdom is the way to get the house. It's not always money. And I say all of this because God is going to use you with the spirit of wisdom and actually the gift of wisdom. You're in general, I would say, you don't like to make yourself known. You don't try to get attention. But you're a quiet man with wisdom. And you're going to help a lot of people with counseling and wise words. You're going to help a lot of young people too. There's a deep wisdom in God, and even wisdom in the scriptures that's going to increase in your life. So, Lord, I thank you for the spirit of wisdom.
living in Him. Bless Him, Lord. Too back then, just stay there. Did you feel that? You want to have your own business someday? You're going to have your own business. Yeah, you will. You're going to be successful. You won't. Yeah. You're going to be the boss. And you know what? God's teaching you good. You're going to be a good manager of money. One thing you don't like, you don't like it when people are stupid with their money. I'll use those words, foolish maybe. Okay? God's going to make you wise with money, I'm telling you. Because of your good management, God can trust you. this gentleman here, God has really planned a lot of success for you. And one thing I see in the Spirit is God has actually delivered him from the wrong kinds of partners. There's people that wanted to work with him, and God just pulled them out of the path because he's supposed to be the head leader. And there's some people that wanted to do some kind of finances and business work with him, and he knew it wasn't good because they would want to kind of take it over. But you're supposed to be the head honcho of the thing and a leader. And you're a very kind, gentle being you are. And you're quiet about your generosity and kindness. You've always been that way from your youth. And that's one reason why you and God have a unique way with each other. Jesus loves a gentle spirit, and sir, that's what you have, and God bless you for it. And he's going to keep blessing you financially. He's already protected you, and he'll continue to protect you. All sorts of things, especially in the financial field also. Can I pray for you? Can I, if it's okay, can I have you come up? Okay, now, everybody has the Holy Spirit, is that right? Yeah. But I want to tell you something about you. One of your struggles is your ministry is so strong. You know it's powerful. And in the Spirit, Jesus has already shown you casting out demons and doing miracles and even healing power. And you've been quiet about it because the ministry is so strong that you want to be careful. And this is the power of God coming on you. Just confirming what I'm saying. Okay? It's proper. It's proper that your ministry is strong. Okay? It doesn't have to be a man to have a strong, powerful ministry. You're going to cast out a lot of demons, I'll tell you that. You have the gift of discerning of spirits. As a matter of fact, I see you in the past, you read the Bible, somehow I see your finger, and you put your finger on the gifts, and I see you touching the discerning of spirits. It's like your finger went across it. Thank you. quiet about it, but you're really different from your friends. You see things that they don't see. As a matter of fact, you might be younger, but like even in here and in church, you're seeing things in the Spirit no one else is seeing. And God has given you eyes to see, I'll tell you that. And your gift is you're going to be able to, well, going to be able to, you have it now, but it's going to be developed. You're going to even help some of your friends. They're going to have friends that they think they're good friends, but you're going to tell them, you need to watch out for that guy. Just, why? He's a nice guy. No. Well, what's the problem? I don't know. I can't put my finger on it, but something doesn't feel right. You know, that's the kind of ministry you have. You're a seer, able to see in the Spirit. And it's a very good chance that you might be doing at least what I'm doing now. To be in front of people and look at people and just see things. I think you have that gift now. It just needs to be developed. And it's also a prophetic gift. I think God himself will have to tell you if you're a prophet or not. But one thing I do know this morning is that you are a seer. And I see God doing something with your spiritual eyes. It's pretty cool. Okay. See, these thoughts, oh my gosh. Did someone recently invest in gold and you're taking your money out of gold? Anybody here invested in gold or you don't want to say? You want me to tell you your password? I just see gold. Gold coins. Okay. You? A long time ago. But have you been recently thinking about it again? You don't. So put your hands up there where you are. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just ask you to bless her financially and do miracles for her in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Hold this group. I'm just going to do, it's 12 o'clock, and some of you might even have jobs to go to. I just want to take a little time to minister this group.
Thank you. You'll find your life. You will. You all will.
Amen. Thank you. Do you enjoy this morning? Yeah, let's clap our hands and thank God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Okay, so have a seat, or we're closing, or are you?
You can close.
I can close.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much this morning. There are a lot of anointing. I think we can catch it. And the most important thing is that to carry our cross to follow Jesus. It's not born again and then finish the work. We have to carry our cross. We follow you. And also we need to ask God about us. So Lord, reveal who we are.
Yes.
And what you want us to do. Explore what you already, before the creation of the world, you put the gift inside of us. Lord, reveal it to each and every one of us so we can fulfill our destiny, fulfill our calling, and to do the wonderful things that you want us to do. Thank you. Thank you for today's, this morning's meeting, and thank you again, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
With goodness and joy for us.
Yes. Yes. It's goodness.
Thank you.
Mercy. Thank you. Thank you.
Have a good one.